people from all over the world. So it's really exciting to us to be able to have that privilege of ministering. And I want you to know that every one of those souls that we have an opportunity to win for Christ are going to be laid to your account also. I got to tell you, the last time I was here, I told you the story about how I got saved. It wasn't until 18 years later, the guy that witnessed to me, he went to a Christian Missionary Alliance church, and we were on coffee break, and we're sitting there, or lunch break, and we're sitting there, and this guy starts telling me about Christ's second coming, and it impacted me so much that even though I didn't receive Christ then, 5 years later, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And on Easter Sunday, April 3rd, 1972, I received Christ as my Savior. I had no idea that God would ever call me to preach. Got to share a passage with you about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, that not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It was like, who am I that I should go to be a missionary, to go to a foreign field? Well, I got to tell you, it was because of that guy's witness to me. I received Christ as my Savior on Easter Sunday, and it changed my life. And when it changed my life, I realized that I needed to grow in the Lord. And so Matthew 28 is a very precious passage to all of us, where he says, "And all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to in the world." So the Great Commission is to win them to Christ, then to have them walk in obedience to Christ, and then to teach them all that he's told us to, in his word. We're to teach the Bible to them. So discipleship is so very important. Well, at our church, we never had discipling. When I got saved, it was you get saved, and then you just listen to the preaching every time the doors were open. And that's what we did. But anyhow, the reason why I'm telling you that is it's so vital for us to grow ourselves. If I'm going to do one thing, I hope that I can do one thing here today, and that's to get you excited about the greatest privilege that you've ever had. And you may think just like that verse, me being, not that I'm sufficient of myself. I'm not sufficient. In fact, when I went to Australia the first time, I thought, what in the world have I done? I mean, where do I start? You know, I had Bible college, 4 years of that, and then I went and interned in a church in Hollywood, Florida, and now I'm on a foreign field I've never seen before in my life. I arrived on the 26th of January. It was about 110 degrees out, and here I am. I don't even know where to buy a loaf of bread. You know, you just have to learn those things. And where do I start? And you know, the Lord just opens those doors. And that's what he did for us. We were able to start a church called Highlands Baptist Church. And now they're on their own. We bought land, and they have an auditorium that will seat 200. And the Lord's blessed that church and that work. We started another church a year later and pastored both of them for a few years. So I would start at 5 o'clock in the morning getting ready for all of this, go to our first church, set it up, and get it ready to go, preach the sermon, and then have morning tea with them. You got to have morning tea. I know that you may not know what that is, but morning tea means coffee, tea, biscuits, cookies, those kind of things. And you'd have all-out war if you ever stopped morning tea. That's very important. But you know what? I've won more people to the Lord during morning tea than I did any other way. It's a time when they talk, and they'll even share things that about the message you've just spoke about. And I remember I don't know what he, remember those two pictures of that, he's an islander, he's a big man, I baptized him, he was standing at the door of the auditorium that we rent out, and it was just after the message, I got to talking to him. He had come for about 3 weeks, something like that, and anyhow, he kept coming, and so I went up to him, and I said, how's it going? And he said, you know, and he was, I could tell something was wrong, and I got to talking to him. He said, you know, preacher, he calls me pastor, and he says, pastor, I've never heard messages like you're teaching. And my dad was a preacher, and his dad was a preacher, and his dad was a preacher. And he said, honestly, what we've heard is nothing like this. I mean, that I have to personally invite Jesus Christ into my heart, and then I need to grow and change, you know, like this. It basically is what he was saying. He says, I've never received Christ as my Savior. And I just right away, and this is at morning tea. And I said, would you like to do that? I said, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to receive Christ as your Savior. So we went back into the auditorium, sat down. We were the only ones there, and all the rest were having their tea, and then he prayed and asked Jesus Christ in his life. It was another guy on that film that he was in the hospital. He just found out he had terminal cancer, melanoma. He breaks out in sores on his body, he has to have them operated. They're trying to control it. Removed all these lymph nodes, and I hope I said that right. Anyhow, I had some trouble, but the Lord drew him to himself in about, I'd say probably a month. Anyhow, I asked him if he'd like to pray. It was that moment, you know, and he says, yes, I would like to. And I said, would you like for me to say the words for you, and then you just repeat after me? And he said, no, pastor, I really want to do it myself. So he prayed. He said, like, hi, God, this is Peter. And, I mean, this is the way he prayed, honestly. And today he still prays like that. I love to hear him pray. Now, that was a few months back. And now he still prays that way, but he's grown in the Lord. And you never know he has cancer. He just, he has terminal cancer. But he never complains. You never hear about it. But anyhow, he's trusted in Christ as his Savior now. And, you know, it's exciting. Australia's a slow country when it comes to being able to evangelize. But you have to be, I think I shared this passage with you, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. You shall reap if you faint not. I always like to say, if you don't quit. You know, and it's happening. It just takes time, and you have to keep... you plant and you water, and then the Lord gives the increase. And I praise the Lord for every soul that we have. There's a passage that I want to share with you that I think is important. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. This isn't your everyday missions message, but it's a message that I believe, since the pastor said this is the last day of your missions emphasis. But honestly, I know that the emphasis will go all year long. But because of this, you're putting forth your commitment to the Lord. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to give this amount. I feel this is what you want me to give this year, and you give. But guess what? 3 months down the road, the old devil comes along and tries to pull his nasties that he does all the time. And he's going to try to get you discouraged. He's going to try to get you to forget about it. Now, I'm not saying that because, I want you to be victorious. And we're already victors. We just need to act like it. Claim the victories that we have in Christ. And I want you to notice this passage in verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm going to use all the way down to verse 26. I'm going to do this very fast because I know I'm running out of time. So I want to get the emphasis of this whole passage. You know, when I got saved, there was times where I got discouraged. I wondered about my faith. I mean, did I give up enough, or what do you do to become a Christian? Because I was not discipled. And one of the things that I found in this verse, in verse 19, you know, though the sin comes into, or sin, you stand and you're freed from the bondage of sin, but come on, have you ever fallen into sin? I mean, made a wrong choice? I mean, we all do that, but we don't have to make the wrong choice, but we have the power of the Spirit to lead us to righteousness, and we can tell that temptation to go away, but nevertheless, sometimes it does. And when he does, Satan points his bony finger at you and accuses you once again. And you say, well, maybe I didn't really trust in Christ as my Savior. You know, and you get discouraged, and pretty soon you start, you know, you feel guilty about it. And that's what will happen in this life as well. When I'm saying walking as a believer in this world, we run into struggles. You know, sin, if it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. Right? I mean, it is. And Satan will appear as an angel of light sometimes. So we got to be aware. We need to learn and grow. That's why Paul tells us, even in this book, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, but I want you to notice, you know, there are times when you might get discouraged, and notice what it says in verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. I don't know about you, but that passage means a lot to me. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to understand something here. This is very important. And then he says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That's in verse 19. Paul is saying, regardless of what may be taking place, regardless of what is going on in our society, regardless of how dark things get, regardless of how many false teachers that come along, it says God's foundation stands sure, and it always will. And nothing's going to ever keep it from being sure. So this message for us is that we have a foundation that's secure. Now, there's another passage that I need to look at, but it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to point out, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. We have a sure foundation. And you know what? That's what I needed as a believer when I was growing in the Lord, and guess what? I'm still growing. I'm always learning and growing. Don't be in a hurry, but don't be slothful in this area. God says you need to hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him. How do you hide his word? By memorizing his word. Read it often and memorize his word. It's so vital for us. And so the foundations are sure, so it doesn't matter what is happening around you, what your situation is, rely on the Lord. That's why I wanted you to hear from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And then I love the rest of that verse where it says, he says, who also hath made us ministers of the gospel. No, he said the New Testament. We could put the gospels there. Of the New Testament. And then he says something that I thought was really not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Because the law was given to us, and it says point by point what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And nobody could fulfill the law. If you break one point of the law, you're guilty of it all. So the law says death. That's the punishment of sin, of falling into sin, is death. But the Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah for that. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And you know what? He says, if you fall into sin, confess your sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Praise the Lord for that passage. And now, to me, I look at myself and I'm not sufficient enough. God, how can I do this? And then he opens up the doors so we can start our first church and it's still going today and doing great. Our second church, we have, we gave that away, the first church. The second church, we finally, it took us 7 years to raise up that guy to take over the church. Then we started the Seaside Baptist Church. Now we're on the fourth one, where the gentleman that's standing in for me while I'm gone is a 23-year-old man, single. And I'm excited about it because I want young people in our church. And, you know, if you can think of a young lady that needs a husband and doesn't mind coming to Australia, we want to get him married. And I think he's looking. So he's standing in our place, and we just got a text from two of our ladies saying that it's going on really great, and Mitchell's doing a great job, and he's having some great messages. And you know what? That's exciting to me. I hope he works me out of a job, because my heart's desire is to put an Australian in there, and he wants to work with me for, I'm hoping he wants to work with me for the next couple of years until he's ready, and I'll be able to know when he's ready. But he's a fine preacher, and he keeps texting me. I wish he'd stop it. I'm getting tired of texting him back all the time. But anyhow, this is your baby for 4 months. You know, learn how. No, that's not it at all. I don't believe that. But anyhow, he's doing a great job, and I hope that he stays. Now, I've never, of all the four churches, I've never had this early in my ministry having somebody that could take it over. And he seems like a sharp guy. He interned in a church that made sure he was ready before he got started, and I think he is. So, anyhow, I want to read another passage to you. So the first thing that is you need to establish is you have a sure foundation. So in other words, no matter what happens in your life, you have a sure foundation. Make sure that you understand that sure foundation. And then I like what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren, well, I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go to verse 11. It says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He identifies that foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And there is no other foundation. Guess what? A lot of times when you grow up and you're taught something, you know, like I have a friend in our church. He grew up as a Catholic. And so he didn't find the Lord until he was 40 years old. But now today he's on fire for the Lord. And he serves the Lord, and he says, you know, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. Everything they taught to him, and of course he went through all the classes and that, and one of the things that he had to find out for sure was this sure foundation. How did you get it? It's through Jesus Christ. And then Paul addresses that. So in other words, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what you were taught. Every man needs to have a ledger on this side listing all the things that he was taught, and on this side of the ledger, all the things that the Word of God says. Compare them, and if something doesn't go with what your teaching was, but the Word of God says this, you better not listen to your teaching and go to the Word of God, because that never changes. It's truth, and it will never fail you. So, in other words, there's a sure foundation, and there's two things in this foundation that is pretty interesting. The foundation established on Jesus Christ, and Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. So that is the foundation. Jesus Christ is that foundation. Now notice what he says in verse 11, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, in other words, our foundations. Okay, let me get the first one. There's one foundation, a sure foundation. And then Then it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, back there, and notice Paul says, we have a sure foundation. Then he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Okay, now I know that reminds me of John chapter 10, where he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They recognize his voice, and they follow him. Now, the amazing thing that what I want to stress here is this, is that sometimes, well, have you ever wondered whether you've done enough to go to heaven? I mean, has that ever, but it's not you, is it? Your sufficiency is in God. Your sufficiency is in that foundation that God provided. And now he's saying, I have never doubted that I'd go to heaven. So many people say, well, I'm hoping that I go. But you know what tells me? It's not my tradition, and it's not anything but the Word of God. And I love this. The Bible tells me so. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wants us to know that we have. A sure relationship is based upon the Word of God. So I have a sure foundation, I have a sure relationship, and it's founded on the Word of God. But there's the third one, and that's, nevertheless, the foundation of God, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. A sure foundation, a sure relationship, and a sure separation. He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How can I do that? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we need to study. That's why he gives us 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There is a directive of God that we are to separate ourselves from ungodliness. So we have a sure foundation. We have a sure relationship, that, and we must have a sure separation. But then in verses 20 and 21, it says a sure service. And this is what he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's work. Now, when God began to deal with me, one of the things I remember, and I even know where I was. I was on a factory on the roof, and it was lightning and thunder. And all the power that you see through something like that, it just made me think of God. They called me preacher at that factory because every time I got an opportunity, I'd tell them about Jesus Christ. But I remember giving my life and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, I got to tell you something. Every time I would ask that question to God, he already had something for me to do. It was all planned out, and all I had to do is step in there by faith and do what he wanted me to do. Now, so, in other words, when God says to you this week or whenever you sign that commitment card, just trust in him for it. I mean, that's what Faith Promise Missions is all about, is trusting him. And then what I really like about this, too, you know where it says there, when he says in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth. These vessels are really human beings, some to dishonor and some to honor. That's what he's talking about. So when he says that, there are vessels that are full of the spirit of truth, but there are some vessels that are not. Why would you stay in a place where the person that's speaking is not really speaking the Word of God? Or, you know, you don't really hear it as solid as... You see... the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father is we need to be honorable, usable, suitable, and prepared. So then he says this in verse 24. There is a sure instruction. He says this in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That's probably the hardest one for us. But when we are walking before men and we're sharing the gospel with them without even opening our mouth, you say, how do you do that? You can, because you are a walking example of what God wants. You know, the hardest time to do this when you're going through a trial, when somebody's beating on the hood of your car, we call that the bonnet, because you made a mistake or something like that in your car, or they didn't like what you did or whatever. You want to get out and punch their lights out, don't you? A lot of times. Now, that's what. But he says here, he says, and a servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Now, I'm finishing up with this. One of the things that God wants us to be is there's a sure instruction. What's he doing here? He's instructing. He says, in meekness, instructing those that are oppose themselves. If God, pre-adventure, will give them repentance. And he goes on. What is going to win people to Christ? That guy that witnessed to me, I saw in his eyes a man that knew he was going to go to heaven. And he shared with me a simple message, and it was done. It stuck with me for 5 years until Easter Sunday. I went to church not because somebody invited me. I went to church because of his testimony. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is he didn't elaborate on that. I saw him for that day, and it was a few weeks later. He went to another job, never saw him again for 18 years. Now, what I'm getting at is this. His countenance won me to Christ. Planted a seed in my life that I knew he knew he was going to go to heaven, and I was hoping I'd go there. What does God want? You got to have that sure foundation, number one. That comes as you receive Christ as your Savior. And this is what it leads to. You need to have a sure relationship. God wants you to develop that relationship. That leads to a sure separation. There's things that you know that you need to separate yourself from. And then how do you find this out? Number one, he says, I want you to have a sure usefulness. He says there will be a sure usefulness. And how does that happen? Through instruction. God wants you to grow. You know what? When I trusted in Christ as my Savior, it didn't stop there. That was the beginning. And then I had to grow and change. And guess what? Every one of us, I don't care how gray I get, I know I've got to grow and change. And you can too. And today's just one opportunity to take and make a commitment to God or ask God to give you a figure that he wants you to put on that card. But he's asking you to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you could do. That's what he's saying. How do it? By the transformation of your mind. He's always instructing us, telling us how to do what he asks us to do. And it shouldn't surprise any of us if we're in the Word of God. So this missions conference, let's go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know that all you can't go, but we can at least go to Australia. And others can go to other places. But don't you ever put it off thinking that, well, God, that doesn't, they're missionaries. I'm not. You are. And God wants you to be on fire for him here just as much as on the field. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of Victory Baptist Church. And Father, I pray that you would give them the power from on high, the desire to serve you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, to love in that way, and to love the people around us that sometimes we don't understand their behavior or even the way they think, but we know this, that they have a soul that you created and that you want that soul to go to heaven. I pray that, Father, you would bless these people in a very special way as they make this commitment to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.